James chapter number 4. We're going to read the first 10 verses of this chapter. If you would please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word, James chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 1. I'll read aloud if you'll follow along, please, as I read aloud. James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith, in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, as we preach and teach down through these verses today, that you would open our understanding. And Lord, I thank you for what you've stated in these scriptures, your desire to be close to us, your desire to have a close relationship with us. Thank you for that. Help us to learn this morning how to have that, what we need to do to secure that close relationship with a wonderful, loving, yet holy Father. I would ask, God, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. I want to thank you for what we've experienced in our revival services this past week. And Lord, we ask that the spirit of a revival would continue in our hearts, Lord, into the weeks ahead, Lord, that much would be accomplished because, Lord, we spent some time drawing nigh to God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The name of the message is a question, very interesting question. I think that a question that I would wish everyone in here to take personally, to use personally, to answer personally. This isn't a question for you to take and begin to look around the auditorium and try to decide where someone else is. I found out that most messages that I don't apply to me doesn't help me very much. Here's the question: how close are you to God? How close are you to God? James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. How close are you to God? I got to show you a toy that I got a couple weeks ago. End of August, I had my birthday. My family does not know what to do for me. I always tell them the same thing: Gander Mountain gift certificates. You know, the last thing you do is, I mean, I love my wife, but the last thing she wants me to do is to go into a dress shop and pick out a dress for her. Amen, men, have you ever tried that? That'll change your life. Let me just tell you this, don't take the tags off of them. Because I can pretty much promise you what's going to happen with that dress. But I don't want her going into a hunting store and picking out something for me. You know, amen. I mean, this is just the way it is, brother. We might as well preach the truth if we're going to preach the Bible, you know. You say, Brother Jerry, are you a deer hunter? Yes, I am. You say, well, I have issue with that. I don't know about the slaughter of innocent animals. Well, you remember that next time you're at McDonald's, okay? Wolfing down your Big Mac. At least I had guts enough to go out and kill it myself, amen. I don't like that. I'm not coming back. Well, this is Greene County, Indiana. You might as well get used to it, man. All right. Amen. Yes, I like deer hunting. I go bow hunting and enjoy it. Well, thank God for technology, I guess. Every once in a while, it produces something good. Did I tell you I got this, David? I got me a new range finder. Now, for a bow hunter, for those of you who don't bow hunt, this may not seem important, but if you can't accurately judge the distance between you are to the deer you're about to shoot, then you could miss it by a mile. Well, we used to just have to get down at the base of our stand, try to pace off, but even that's not an accurate yardage because how many of you understand Pythagoras' theorem? Do you understand that okay? For those of you that don't, I'm just going to stop right there, amen? This makes it easy. This little gizmo here, is it works on a laser beam. And what it does, like if I take this and I point it at the back wall of the church and I click it, it will tell me the exact yardage from where I'm standing to where the back of the auditorium is. We are, and it just gives you yards, not feet or inches, but this tells me that I'm 17 feet from, or 17 yards from where I'm standing to the back of the auditorium. So if I'm in the woods and a deer stand and I put it on the deer and click it, I'll know exact yardage. This is important. Are you getting this? I can't believe I'm not hearing more amens. We're preaching the Bible up here, folks. Wake up, man. And so, you know, you've got to find, they say, a solid object. And so where's Tom Daffron at? Let me see. Where's Tom? There he is. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Let's see. Wow, that laser bounced back so hard it hurt my eye there a little bit. Exactly 13 yards between me and Tom Daffron. And I bought this thing, and I guess preachers have a weird way of thinking. But I'm on the way home, and you know what I found out? It doesn't work real well when you're driving down the road. You know how it is when you get something new. Who wants to wait till you get home? I'm at stop signs, and I'm going whack, 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 you know. You know, this will give you a range anywhere from 5 yards, it's got to be at least 5 yards away, to 999 yards. Is that incredible? And so the technology, and I'm thinking about this thing, and it's amazing how, you know, if you're just aware of the Lord's presence, and if you just listen to the Lord, it's amazing how out of some of the craziest things in life, He'll stop and talk to you and teach you something. And I got to thinking about revival this week, and I thought, you know, I believe one of the purposes that we have revival is to set a time aside for the church to try to draw nigh unto God. I thought, you know what, maybe it would be good for all of us to, if we had access to the technology that would allow us to purchase or have a spiritual range finder, a spiritual range finder. We're coming off a week of revival meetings, you know, on purpose at our church. We plan often a local church revival meeting or preaching conference. You say, preacher, why? Is it so that we'll have an opportunity to see a lot of souls saved? Well, that would be an evangelistic meeting, and I think those are good. But honestly, what I find is that if God revives the church, seeing souls saved is a natural result of that. But no, that's really not why we have revival. We don't have it for the lost, at least not initially. We have it for us. You know why? Because the songwriter wrote, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love." And anybody in here that's honest would have to stand up and say, "Brother Jerry, since I've been saved, there's been times in my life that I was closer to the Lord than other times." There may be folks right now that could testify to this. And by the way, I'm glad for you if you can. Where you could say, "Brother Jerry, I'm not being braggadocious. I'm just being very honest. Right now, I'm probably about as close to the Lord as I've ever been in my life." Isn't that a good place to be? But there's been times in my life where I would have had to give this testimony. There has been times in my life when I was a lot closer to the Lord than I am right now. Now, I believe that if we are honest enough to take the time to let the Holy Spirit help us evaluate that, then we put ourselves in a position where we can recoup lost ground or gain lost ground. I will tell you this, and if I'm wrong, you need to stand up and tell me. Is there anybody here that doesn't need to get closer to God than you are? Well, I don't know who that person is, but he's not standing behind the pulpit, I'll tell you that. So why do you have a revival meeting? Why do we have those times sometimes when we just take some extra time and sit underneath some extra preaching and really open our hearts up? I believe that revival often becomes a spiritual range finder in our lives to help us accurately read how close we are to the Lord. Let's suppose that this morning the miraculous occurred. Let's suppose that God in His divine power, Lord, this earthly rangefinder to be transformed into a spiritual rangefinder. Suppose we passed it around the room, start here at the front and just went all the way down, and each of us had an opportunity to point it up here at the cross, only it wouldn't tell you the distance, the physical distance between you and that piece of wood up there, but what it would tell you is how close you are to God. I wonder what the reading would be. If God gave you an accurate distance, an accurate and divine reading that honestly told you how close or how far away from Him, would that be of benefit to you? Do you care how close you are to God? James chapter 4, we discover a list of sins that distance us from the presence and I think also the power of Almighty God in our lives. As we look at these sins and confess them and forsake these sins, it allows us to obey verse 8 that says, "Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you." In that verse, the Bible commands us to draw nigh to God. Notice He puts it on us, puts a responsibility on us. And then this command is followed by the promise, and He will draw nigh unto you. He wants to develop. Let me say this about your God. And I'm preaching mostly to save people. Let me just say here, if you're here today without Christ as your Savior, there is no way you can get near God except first go through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what? You are estranged from God, enemies with God until the day that you get saved. And thank God Jesus shed His blood on Calvary's tree. Thank God salvation's available to every soul. But after we are saved, you know what, folks? That relationship, that closeness that we have to God, that is the responsibility that is put on us. The command is, draw nigh to God. Then the promise, and He will draw nigh unto you. This verse tells us that God wants to be close to us. Isn't that exciting? He wants to walk beside us. He wants to develop a close friendship, a close father-son relationship. He wants to befriend us and bless us and empower. Hey, Christian, here's the fact. God wants to be close to you. Here's the question. How close do you want to be to God? How many of you are old enough that you remember probably back in the late 70s into the 80s, and maybe you'll see one from now, even now from time to time, but the old bumper sticker that says, ask this question, do you feel far away from God? Then the answer underneath it, who do you think moved? Who do you think moved? Now, let's take a little bit of time, and I want to say this. This is a Bible preaching church. We preach the Word of God, and we just open it up and read it, and we explain it. We don't try to change it. We don't try to apologize for it. What it says, we need to hear. And so we see that there are sins listed in James chapter 4 that drives us far from the bosom of a loving Heavenly Father. Let's look at the first three verses, and let's identify this first sin. In James chapter 4, verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. The word lust there means you desire, you want things, you want certain things. So we want things for ourselves and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. And then the verse 3 is pretty amazing, because even when those few times when we try to get a little spiritual in this condition, we pollute it because of our selfishness. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Let me identify the first sin that I believe drives a wedge that creates greater distance between us and our Heavenly Father, and that is our selfishness. You say, Brother Jerry, what is all of these verses talking about? It's talking about the fact that we have a carnal nature. Even those of us that are saved still have to deal with the flesh. We have a carnal nature that wars against our newborn nature. This is a war that we fight inside of us. This carnal nature is only concerned about, don't miss this, one main thing. Am I getting what I want? And if not, what do I have to do to make sure I get what I want? And the minute a Christian succumbs to that, surrenders to that, begins to live a carnal life, a selfish life, then pretty soon you have wars, you have fightings among you in yourself, and then that tends to spill over to people around you. You see, folks, I believe that selfishness is one of those sins that causes us to have increased distance. It separates us from God. It keeps us from being as close to God as we ought to be. On our website, Brother Klein, from time to time, puts on our homepage a quote that he took from one of my messages that I preached here a while back. One of the ones that you will find on our website from time to time comes from a sermon I preached several years ago on love. Here's the quote. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is selfishness. You know, the more that I've looked at that, the more convinced I've become of it. You know, true love dies to self and gives to others. And selfishness demands what we want and will hurt anybody we have to in order to get it. Now, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is selfishness. Don't forget this. God is love. So you can imagine what selfishness does to our relationship with Almighty God. Notice the context here. The more we selfishly desire and selfishly determine to have what we want, the more God sees to it that we do not succeed in getting it. Did you sense that? He even says, "Ye ask and receive not." He says, because you're so selfish, I purposely frustrate you on a regular basis to keep you from having that sin rewarded in your life. Selfishness just does not pay before Almighty God. Brother Hightower mentioned this principle and quoted these verses in our revival this week. Matthew 16, 24, 25, I'll read it to you. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. You know what I found? This is so true. People that are so determined to live their life the way they want and get what they want, they seem to live a frustrated life. And people that lay all that at the base of the cross of Calvary and says, God, I will die to self. I will live for you. It's amazing that the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Folks, the way up is down. I know it sounds opposite, but listen to me. Selfishness is just going to frustrate you until you come to an old-fashioned altar and die to self. It's going to frustrate you. Selfishness drives us from the Father. Selfishness causes us to do sorrowful and silly and sinful things. Selfishness was prophesied as the predominant sin of the last days when the Apostle Paul wrote these words. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves. And then what follows that? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. It's like when you push over the first domino, and that first domino is, I'm in love with me, and all of these other dominoes start falling. Folks, I believe this with all my heart. Every sin on this list is a result of selfishness. Think about it. Why are men covetous? Because they're selfish. Why are they boasters? Because they're selfish. Why are they proud blasphemers? Because they're selfish. Are you listening to me, children? Why are they disobedient to parents? Because they're selfish. Why are they unthankful? You know why? Because they always think that God should have given them a little more, and they fail to be thankful for what He already gave them. Now, what I'm saying is this, folks. Listen, I know the revival meeting's over, but let me ask you a question. Did you miss the revival? I'm not asking you whether or not you were able to attend all nights. I'm not asking if you were able to attend at all. I'm just saying this. The spirit of revival, I believe, came to Blessed Hope Baptist Church a bit this week. Listen, we can capitalize on it or we can throw it away and waste it. But the honest truth is, revival is when a Christian decides they're going to get as close to God as they possibly can. And one of the things that is a barrier to our closeness to God is this matter of selfishness. Let me give you the second thought. In James chapter 4, verse 4, please, folks, I'm going to read the Bible and I'm going to explain it. I'll be very careful with children in the room. But I think it's astounding the wording that God uses here. Notice verse 4. What is the second sin that causes us to have distance between us and God? He says this, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Now remember, if you go to the first of this book, This is a book that is written to the brethren. This is written to Christians. What an accusation to lay at the feet of a child of God. He says this, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not, notice this, that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And I believe if we had that spiritual rangefinder and we clicked on it and found that we are a long way from God, and then we really begin to investigate why we're so far from God, we have to deal with this matter of selfishness. I think when we come and die to self at an altar and say, God, I'm not going to live my life for me, I'm going to live it for you and others, then I believe that closes the distance between us and God. The second sin that I believe causes distance between us and God is our friendship with the world. Now listen to me very carefully here. The second sin that creates distance between the believer and the Savior, I'm going to use the word, is our adulterous relationships with the world. Isn't it fascinating as well as convicting that God equates friendship with the world with the breaking of one of the foundational commandments given to Moses on Mount Sinai, thou shalt not commit adultery? Now let me rationalize with you for a few minutes here. Just give me a little bit of time. Let me be a little silly and rationalize with you. Let's suppose that it came out. And by the way, let me just say this, because I want to make sure you know I'm kidding. We celebrated, me and my wife, our 25-year anniversary. In that stretch of time and since that stretch of time, I've been 100% faithful to my wife. 100% faithful to my wife. I'll say that by the grace of God. It's not because of anything that I am. I just thank God that He's kept me faithful to my wife. But I want you to rationalize with you. Let's suppose that it came out that your pastor was being unfaithful to his wife. Let's suppose that they came out and it became knowledge in the church and it wasn't a rumor, it was the truth. Let's suppose that I called a deacon's meetings when I heard that the news was out, and I set the men down and stood before them and said, brothers, I need to let you on a little secret. I have a couple girlfriends on the side. Now men, don't worry, my wife is fine with that. How many of you already believe this speech that I'm making? My wife's fine with it. She knows about it. It hasn't affected our relationship with each other at all. We're as close as we've always been. And man, I don't see where it will hinder me from being a good pastor and a good role model to the young people in our church. I wanted to be honest with you and up front with you, and I hope you men will not judge me and just accept that even though this isn't right for you, this is God's will for my life. How many of you think that I would be pastor the next Sunday after that speech? How many of you believe I should be pastor the next Sunday after that speech? Let me tell you something, folks. If you don't fall for that and wouldn't accept that from me, why in the world do you think I should accept that from you? Are you listening to me? See, God views His relationship with us as very sacred. And He literally, young people, I want you to get this. He literally looks at relationships that you start with the world and worldliness as having an affair against Him, of cheating on Him. He looks at it as adultery. It's foolishness to claim that worldliness does not affect your godliness. Let me say that again. It's foolishness to claim that worldliness does not affect your godliness, and it's foolishness to say that I have worldliness in my life and I'm close to God. Listen, I believe that about as much as you would believe if I said I had two girlfriends and me and my wife's relationship wasn't affected at all by it. That's hogwash. That's hogwash, you see. It is foolishness to claim that worldliness does not affect your relationship with the Father. Now, let me just say some things plain. So, Brother Jerry, it's a Sunday morning. Sometimes we need to hear some things on a Sunday morning, amen? What I'm talking about is this. There's born-again Christians that are having an affair on God with Hollywood. You know what? You are more infatuated and more interested in the next thing Hollywood produces than you are the next church service at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I mean, I'm sorry, but some of you are cheating on God. Brother Jerry, there's some good things coming out of Hollywood. What you're trying to say is, she's not that bad of a girlfriend. Sometimes she's pretty decent. Come on. Come on, don't get quiet on me, man. Amen. I'm going to ask your wives to say amen if you won't. Come on. I'm talking about Christians who want to go on the movie house on Thursday night and the church house on Sunday morning and sit there acting like they're a good Christian. Listen to me, young people. I'm talking about teenagers coming on the buses and want to act like you're a good Christian. You went to the school dance on Friday night and you want to go to youth soul winning on Wednesday afternoon. Let me tell you what you are. You're a two-timer. Amen. Amen. We'll go down and set the nightclub. You know, on a Monday night, show up on Bible study on a Wednesday night, and then how dare anybody judge me? Well, God judges you. And you know what he said? He said, you're acting like an adulterer. You're acting like an adulteress. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about some of you young people. You're not married, and you date alone in a car, and you park and pet and defraud one another on a Saturday night, grab your King James Bible and want to come sit in church on a Sunday morning and try to convince me you're right with God. You're not. God says you're an adulterer, an adulteress, a two-timer. Sorry, you know what? You might convince some carnal Christian. You might convince some spiritual novice of that, but you're not going to convince this preacher of that. You're not going to convince anybody that has more than an elementary knowledge of the Bible, because 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Listen, folks, I'm just being honest with you. I mean, you got to choose where you want to live. You got to choose what kind of relationship you're going to have with God. But you know what? The Bible's very plain on this. If you're going to spend your life invested and involved in worldliness and the things of this world, you are never going to close that gap. You're never going to get as close to God as you want to be and say you want to be and really need to be to have the wisdom to raise your children and have a good marriage and to win other people to Jesus Christ. Hey, whatever happened to the day when we came to an altar and just said, you know what, I need to confess some things. I need to stop being worldly in some areas. I need to give up some things that I'm doing. You know what I want to see at Blessed Old Bad Church? I want to see revival. What is revival? It's when we just start identifying how close we are to God and figure out why we're not very close and be willing to get rid of some things that's keeping us from being so far away from God. Why are we so far away from God, preacher, in today's churches? Because worldliness is unfaithfulness to a loving, caring, dying, resurrected Savior. Worldliness is spitting in the face and trampling the redemptive blood. We ought not to defend such behavior. We ought to repent of that. So as we try to take our spiritual rangefinder and judge the distance, and we realize we're far from God. Some of you came every... I'm just going to say this. Listen to me. And if it's not correct about you, don't worry about it. But you know what? It's possible for somebody to have been here last Sunday morning and again this Sunday morning and every service in between, and you know what? Not to have closed the gap, the distance, 1 inch between you and Almighty God. We've got to be so careful about that. Well, preacher, I don't want to hear that kind of preaching. No one's going to talk to me like that. No one's going to tell me how to live. Let's look at the next sin. James chapter 4, verse 5. Do you think that this scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth the envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. The honest truth is, folks, the third sin, the last one we're going to deal with this morning, that I believe prevents us from having as close a relationship with God, is our own stinking wicked pride. Preacher gets up and starts preaching on things like worldliness, begins to preach on these things as far as selfishness. And you know what? We just sit out there more determined to be selfish and more determined to be worldly. And the only thing that stands us up against that kind of preaching is our own foolish pride. God resisteth the proud, the Bible says. Yet notice verse 10, if you will. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God embraces, restores, promotes the humble of heart. Our selfishness, our unholy associations with the world, Our wicked pride all drives us away from the Heavenly Father. Pastor, I don't feel close to God. I don't feel as close to God as I ought to be. I know I've got a long way to go, and I know I've got a lot that I need to do in my life and fix in my life in order to be as close to God. I know that I'm saved, but I want more than that. Got a phone call 2 weeks ago, and it wasn't from somebody in this church. If it was, I wouldn't share it, but a guy that I've had a history with and a friendship with. He opened up to me in a way that I haven't had him open up to me in years. He said something to me. He said, Brother Jerry, let me tell you something. He said, I know I'm saved. Based on the scriptures, based on the word of God, I have no doubt I'm saved. And by the way, this man has all kinds of problems in his life. But he said, I just have almost never felt in my Christian life like I've ever had any kind of close relationship with God. And he said, why is that? And you know what? I took him to the same verses that I preached to you today. And I said to him, you know what? These are the reasons. And you know what he wanted to start doing? He wanted to start defending himself and blaming God for the fact that he is not close to God. And I just finally said, called his name, and I said, listen, that's your problem. Number three, you are too proud to admit that you have the problems that are so obvious to anybody. Listen, brother, I love you. I'll love you after I hang up this phone. We're friends now. I hope we're friends later. And if we're not, it won't be because I changed the way I feel about you. But you asked me a question, and I'm giving you an answer. And the honest truth is, for the last 10, 15 years of this man's life, he has lived selfishly. He has lived carnally. He hasn't hardly darkened the door of a church. He is lifted up and proud and arrogant, and he can't take rebuke. He can't take instruction. And you know what? That feeling of being far away from God is never going to go away until he deals with those things. Now, it's easy to talk about some anonymous person that we don't know. And by the way, you know what I need to do? I need to take my spiritual range finder, and I need to worry about Jerry Ross. And you need to take a spiritual range finder, and you need to worry about you. Because the honest truth is, how close I am to God mostly just affects me, and how close you are to God mostly just affects you. But could I say this? The closer you get to God, the more power you have to help people. Now, Brother Jerry, real quickly, by the way, this isn't sermon two, but I feel like I'm far away from God. I know we had revival services. How come I see God doing something in other people's lives and it just doesn't seem like I'm getting in on this spirit of revival? In verse number 7, God gives us this beautiful, wonderful formula. I'm just going to mention four things. Number one, how do you get back close to the Father? Brother Jerry, there was a time when I was close to God, and I just feel like, man, I can't get back there. How do I get back close to God? Number one, submission to your heavenly authority. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Listen, folks, the opposite of submission is rebellion. The opposite of submission is rebellion. I'm sorry, I'm just too old to sit there and bobblehead when I hear ridiculous statements being made. Did you ever notice that all the other kids are pagans? Sorry, that's not what we're supposed to be. So here is a Christian that's rebelling against God, rebelling against God-given authority. God says it's like practicing witchcraft. How in the world can you practice witchcraft and resist the devil? Hey, here's the thing. Here's what you need to get. You either get on God's side and you want his help, or you're on the devil's side and you're empowering him in your life. You're opening those doors in your life. There's no middle road here. Well, brother, I don't understand why I'm so far away from God. Because you're playing with tarot cards. You're practicing voodoo. You're memorizing spells. I don't do those things. If you're in rebellion against God, God says it's just the same thing. I don't understand. I don't understand parents that have already given up on this and given into this. Well, you know what? All teenagers rebel. It's just a part of growing up. You know what that is like? What I hear you say, what I hear, that's like you walking in your kid's bedroom, and they have taken lighter fluid, and in the carpet they burnt a pentagram. And they're sitting there with candles lit, and they're playing with tarot cards and having a seance. And you say, hey, you know what, just part of growing up. All teenagers go through that. What's the difference? Why do we excuse it? Why do we excuse it in the home? Why do we excuse it in a marriage? Why do we excuse it in our own lives when we won't submit? We know God wants this. We know what's right. We're not ignorant. I'm not talking to new Christians here that say, Brother Jerry, wait a minute. I don't even know all this stuff, and this is new to me. Listen, no problem. We all had to grow. We all had to learn. But I'm talking about people that want to claim to be mature Christians. You see, submission to authority, submit to God, being willing to bow your knee to a heavenly Father and say, God, I have been submitting to Satan. I am not going to do that. I'm going to begin to submit to you. I have been resisting you, and I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to begin resisting the devil. Folks, let me get this. Let me make it clear. You're either submitting to God and resisting the devil, or you're resisting God and submitting to the devil. There's no middle ground. So you know what? I've decided to declare war on the devil. How do you get close to God? Make his enemy your enemy. Declare war on the devil. Lord, I'm going to submit to your authority in my life and the Word of God and its authority in my life. I'm going to declare war on the devil. I'm not going to partner with him. I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to resist him. Then notice, if you will, true repentance follows in verse 8. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner. Purify your heart, you double mind. When you get in this state of mind of submitting to God and beginning to resist the devil, it's amazing how you can begin to see things that are wrong in your life that you were blinded to before then. And you begin to cleanse your hands, purify your heart, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Folks, listen to me. I believe submission to God and a decision to resist the devil leads to a perfect atmosphere where we can truly repent and truly get right with God. And listen, verse number 10, number 4. Exercise humility in his sight. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of God, of the Lord. Now here it is. All of a sudden, here comes the gap. It starts closing. And he reaches in. Remember what it said? Draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. Well, Brother Jerry, I don't know how far I can go. Just head that way. How many of you here will testify? It says, you know what? When I stop making excuse for my rebellion and my sinful attitude, and I repented of that, and I stopped submitting to the devil and started resisting him in my life, and I just took off towards God, even in my weakness, even in my inadequacy, God didn't just sit there and say, okay, that's pretty good. Keep coming. We'll see how you do. The loving Heavenly Father says, you know what? Hey, I will meet you in the middle, son, and I'll help you make the rest of the journey, all the rest of the way to glory. And that is a great way to live, a great way to live. I believe that revival happens when we eliminate the things that are between us and our Heavenly Father. And we make a conscious decision to draw nigh to Him with clean hands, a pure heart, genuine humility. My question this morning is a simple one, and that's this: how close are you to God? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I would pray, Lord, that as your children, Lord, even in our tendency to wander, even in our tendency to be less than we ought to be, our tendency towards disobedience, God, I would pray that something that was said this morning strikes clearly into the heart of every born-again Christian. Lord, did we miss revival? Well, I don't know. Lord, I believe that every person that participated in the revival services and are closer to you now than they were before, they have experienced some measure of revival. I would pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would help each of us to examine our lives. Did I move at all? Did I come a little when I knew I should have gone farther? Have I kind of changed my attitude? Have I kind of repented? Or am I willing to get to that point of brokenness? Brokenness over my lack of living for God. Brokenness over my rebellious heart. Brokenness over the fact that I've been partnering with Satan against the Father instead of partnering with the Father against Satan. God, bring us to the point where we're willing to be honest with ourselves and honest with you, honest with the Word of God. Lord, there's so many wonderful things that happen as a result of a Christian getting thoroughly and wholly and completely right with God. And I ask, Lord, that what you've started in our lives this week, you would not allow to stop, but help us to go become closer and closer and closer and closer to you. Each and every day, Lord, from this day forward, I pray this for our lives. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I haven't said a whole lot and haven't preached a whole lot to lost people, but let me say this. You cannot get close to God without first coming through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loves you. He died on the cross to prove it. If you're here without Christ as your Savior, you know what? He wants to save you today. And then from that point on, you can begin this journey of a walk with God and a closeness to God and a divine empowered life. If you are saved and you are a Christian, let me say this. It is vitally, vitally important that you're close to God. It is. Well, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. That's just not true. It's not true. When I'm far from God, it seems like all of those sins that have caused us spill over into people's lives and hurt people around me. I don't want to live that way. Oh, every once in a while, we just need, I think, to bow our knee before a Heavenly Father and say, God, it's time for me to come back and to get back to where I once was. God, please bless the invitation. If there's one here without Christ, I wish that they'd be saved. Lord, you know that's my heart's desire. Help them to come.